Shalom, Chaverim. My friends, could you imagine anyone visiting Paris and not seeing the Eiffel Tower, or London and ignoring Big Ben, or Washington and being oblivious of the White House? Such omission would be as phenomenal, as unbelievable, as visiting Jerusalem in the days of Solomon and failing to discern the glorious temple he built. Or, going right back to the beginning of man's history, imagine exploring the garden in Eden, where grew every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, yet failing to view the two most important trees in the midst of the garden, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Such an omission would excite our liveliest astonishment. If, instead of trees, the garden in Eden had been planted with words, I imagine the twin truths, which well may be symbolized by the twin trees, could best be expressed by the words loss and legacy. So far as mankind is concerned, the words loss and legacy unveil adequately the two vital verities of Eden, and failure to apprehend them would be an omission equally gross and decidedly inimical to our spiritual welfare. Loss and legacy will be found to be the twin jets that propel the whole divine revelation of Scripture upon the course it takes. On our march through the Holy Scriptures, we shall advance with the correct foot and thus be in step with divine revelation if we begin with these two facts. The serpent's fangs in Eden injected the consuming venom of sin, which brought upon man his appalling loss. The actual origin of all sin, and therefore of all evil, is shrouded in mystery, although the answer, perhaps, may be found embedded in the fact of the relative freedom of the created will. Man's loss through sin's entrance was immediately apparent. Study sin's effect upon the first man. Sin distanced Adam from God. Sin marred Adam's knowledge of God. Sin weakened Adam's trust in God. And sin damaged Adam's delight in God and destroyed Adam's harmonious communion with God. Such an alarming and dangerous condition demonstrates this loss in such terms as only death, spiritual death, can describe. Although we cannot understand the mystery, yet we can now understand its revelation. For we see that the spirit of man, without the spirit of God, is surrendered to that suicidal tyrant, self. That means death indeed. However, if the origin of sin is not obvious, there is certainly no obscurity regarding the universality of sin. Sin is found wherever and whenever man is found. The Jewish book of Ecclesiasticus pronounces that every man from his youth is given to evil. In a very laudable attempt to explain this universality of sin, modern rabbinical Judaism developed the doctrine of the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer HaTov, said to be the evil and the good inclinations resident in all men. Personally, I find great difficulty in accepting this theory, because Adam's creation is recorded in Bereishit, Genesis, chapter 1, and verses 26 and 27, in these Hebrew words, Ve'yomer Elohim, na'aseh Adam b'tzalmenu kidmutenu, ve'yivra Elohim et ha'adam b'tzalmo, b'tzalem Elohim bara oto. Literally, and gods, for the noun is plural, said, let us make man in image of us, and after likeness of us. and gods created the man in his image. In the image of gods he created him. If the first man, being created in the image and after the likeness of God, could not therefore have an evil inclination originally, a Yetzahara, when did he and his descendants acquire it? I confess I prefer to revert to the more ancient Jewish doctrine of the fall of man, which, in my opinion, more correctly expresses the awful change that took place in the first man and also accounts for the transmission of that change to his descendants. I now invite your attention to a feature which I believe to be of fundamental importance. Whilst it is true that Adam, the first man, was created in the image and likeness of God, it is overlooked that we, you and I, were not created in the image and likeness of God. We were procreated in the likeness and after the image of Adam. And our procreation from Adam occurred after that disaster, rightly called the fall of man, and is described in Bereshit, Genesis, chapter 5, and verses 3 and 4, in the following Hebrew words, Vayehi Adam Shiloshim Uma'at Shana, Vayoled Bidmuto Kedzalmo Vayoled Banim Uvanot. Literally, Adam procreated in his own likeness after his own image, and he procreated sons and daughters. We, my dear listening friends, are those sons and daughters procreated by fallen Adam. Have you ever watched the players out on the bowling green? Have you seen that bowl, under the influence and control of speed, mark out its straight course towards the little white ball at the other end of the green? Of course you have. But have you noticed something else? In proportion as the impetus of speed loses its influence upon the bowl, the bowl's natural inherent bias causes it to curve and deviate from the straight course on which it was first propelled. Surely, like the bowl, mankind has inherited a bias which causes him to curve and deviate towards evil unless he submits himself to the impetus and control of Ruach Hashem, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. In addition to the reference to the fall of man in the Jewish apocryphal book Wisdom, an ancient Jewish tradition of long descent has been summarized by one of our most famous rabbinical commentators on Genesis in these words, "The first man was the cause of death to all his descendants." An early hint of this Jewish doctrine of the fall of man and its transmitted taint is featured in the Midrash Tanhuma, which comments quaintly upon the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and here I quote, "And why is not the name of the tree clearly mentioned? Because the Holy One, blessed be He, never wishes to grieve anything He has created. Hence its name is not mentioned, in order that it might not be put to shame by people saying, 'This is the tree through which the world suffered.'" Our Jewish rabbinical teaching urges that Adam's sin not only injured him, but also the whole earth. Moreover, the Shekhinah left the earth after man's fall. Rabbi, the Reverend Dr. Rafal, calls attention to the introduction into the human race of shame, the first departure from a state of instinct and nature, and also fear, the first indication of a state of wrong. Only the biblical revelation of the fall of man can account adequately for the phenomena. Yet this doctrine of the fall of man is variously evaded, avoided, ignored, refined, yea, even repudiated. I have stressed the essentially Jewish character of this doctrine, designated the fall of man, only because of a more modern attempt to deny it its rightful place in our Jewish theology. How glad I am that it is not necessary for me to conclude this current message on this sad note. I spoke of loss and legacy. You will remember that in previous messages we discovered, somewhat to our surprise, that Bereshit, Genesis, the Book of Beginnings, instead of being primarily occupied with exhaustive dissertations on cosmic origins, devoted instead 4/5 of its chapter space to recording the history of those 4 specks of humanity, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. My friends, the 2 important elements of Eden, loss and legacy, account for this unexpected emphasis. We have viewed briefly the loss, and how tragic it is. What of the legacy? Ah, that's good news. And I confess I am as eager to talk to you about it as you are to hear about it. So, keep listening. Yivarecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Ya'er Adonai p'navelecha v'hunecha, Yisar Adonai p'navelecha, v'yaseim lecha, Shalom. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.